Okay, Isaiah 40. So, Pastor Jim this morning read from Isaiah 40 and moved into Matthew 3, and we're going to do that as well. How many of you have ever read the Old Testament and said, what? Thought that, yeah? Okay. As you're working through the Old Testament, it can be difficult for us because we don't naturally, because our world is so different than theirs, we don't naturally understand the context, or they use different language. And so even within this section, here is a section of prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. And so tonight, really, what I want to do is to talk about the implications for us and the application of Scripture. We know that all of Scripture is given to us to help us grow. And that's what Romans 15:4 says, and 2 Timothy 3:16-17, right? It's able to rebuke and to equip us, to teach us, to train us, to correct us. And so all of Scripture, when Paul was writing that to Timothy, he was saying, the Old Testament is there to train you and there to equip you. And so we know that, but it can be difficult to bridge the gap. So it can be difficult when we read Isaiah 40. Let's read it together, and we're really going to just read 41 through 5, and we went further than that this morning. Chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We say it right on, right? Right on. What's going on at this time? So first of all, who is Isaiah? Isaiah is what we call a prophet of the Lord. He lived in the 8th and 7th century BC. Now when we say prophet, what are we talking about? What does a prophet do? Or what is the definition of a prophet?
That's what God's thinking.
All right, so is it the mouthpiece for God, right? A spokesman for God, a messenger. Very good. So a prophet gives the word of the Lord. Now, when you think of prophecy, what do you think of? What's the natural inclination? Okay, telling the future. Very good. So we have telling the future is a prophecy. Something's going to happen, and here's what it's going to look like. Right? But a prophet also has another job. They didn't just walk around telling the future. They also gave the word of the Lord, the truth from the Lord, to the people about the current situation. And so you can think about it kind of like this. They either foretell or they forthtell. Doesn't that clarify everything?
Yes.
All right, so before, this is foretelling something. Before it comes to pass, they say this is what's going to happen. To forthtell is to give it forcefully, to give the message confidently from God, saying, God says that you are, what you are doing now is in sin. Or God says that you should, you know, behave this way. That is to forthtell. And so it wasn't just telling the future. And a lot of the Old Testament, when you read the prophets, is really saying, here is judgment for what's going on. It's really more telling what God thinks, more than here's what's going to happen next. And so there are these two different categories that the prophets speak in. However, as we get to Isaiah 40, we're talking about the former. And listening to Jim this morning, what was he talking about? Isaiah was talking about what?
Say comfort.
Okay, comfort where?
From God.
Good. What event was he talking about? So comfort in what? What event? What's that? Okay, so here's what he's talking about. Isaiah, here's the setting of Isaiah. Nathan said, return from captivity. Okay, so here's what's going on in Isaiah's life. And this is why a lot of times when we read the Old Testament, we think, well, that was confusing, because it doesn't necessarily like say this in verse 40. There's not a heading. So Isaiah had grown up in Israel, and during a time of affluence. They were wealthy. There was peace. People were like, look at us. We're doing great. And God wasn't happy with them. They were socially, they were taking advantage of the poor people. They were not committed to God. They were worshiping other gods. They had set up temples and altars to other gods. And they were not living as God wanted them to. But they were doing well when Isaiah was young. As they started to get into trouble when Isaiah was getting older, they were trying to figure out, how do we get out of this? And instead of turning to God, what they were doing is they were saying, if we align ourselves with Assyria, then we can overcome Egypt, who's attacking them. And Isaiah says, no, look to God. Don't look to other people. And they say, no, 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 Assyria looks like a good ally. And so they align themselves with Assyria. Well, because they did that, Assyria came down and knocked out Egypt and saved them for a second. But then Assyria decided to come in later and wipe them out. And then Isaiah said, align yourself with God. And they said, no, 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 let's align ourselves with Egypt now and try to knock out Assyria. And in doing so, they were taken into captivity. And Isaiah, in foretelling, saw that this was happening, and the Lord revealed it to him, that they were going to be taken into captivity, actually, to Babylon, right? And so this was later on, that eventually they'd be taken into Babylon. So Assyria came in and took out the northern kingdom. Babylon came in then and took out the southern kingdom. And I mixed those two up. And so Babylon had come in, and Isaiah sees that they're going to be taken away. And he sees this is what's going to be happening, that God's word is not going to fail in his purpose for the nation. And so he says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, who had been wiped out, who had been carried away to Babylon, and cry to her that her warfare is ended. God has brought peace again, once again, to the nation of Israel, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, that they are no longer in punishment. And he's looking forward to a future time when they will be coming back out of exile, back into the promised land. And so as they come back, he says this, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. Now this is language to help us understand what about the path. Why would every valley be lifted up and every mountain be made low? What is it trying to say? Have you guys ever been on a highway out through Colorado? What do they do to the mountains and to the valleys?
Cut like right through them.
They cut a lane right through them, right? They blow up the mountains so that it's straight. They build up earthenwork so that as much as possible, there's not as much up and down, that it carves through, right? So that it is a clear, straight path to get back. And here's what he's saying. There is a straight path in the desert, a highway for our God to lead his people back into Jerusalem. Okay? So what he's telling them is God is about to do something in Jerusalem. When you get taken into Babylon, God is going to do something to bring you back. Make straight the way of the Lord. When you're in Babylon, don't be content with Babylon. When you're over there, don't be suckered in to this impressive culture that you see, this empty culture. God is going to display his glory through us when he brings us back. And this is what a lot of the messages that the prophets give are for the nation of Israel. So, they should expect God to be working in history and accomplish his purposes. Get ready to see what God does in your life. Now, why this is interesting is take your Bibles and flip over to Matthew 3. Matthew 3:1 says this. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So is John talking about people coming back from the Babylonian captivity? What's John talking about? He's talking about Jesus coming, right? But he says specifically, Matthew says, John is the one who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So is it about the Babylonian captivity back in 500 BC on their return? Or is it about John the Baptist with Jesus when he comes back? How do you look at Old Testament prophecies? And this is an interesting thing that if, as you get older and as you look into it more, that people will ask you, well, if you've ever read Isaiah 53, they say, well, that has a fulfillment there. They say, you know, Isaiah 9 has a fulfillment. Isaiah 11 has a fulfillment in Old Testament. Has anybody heard this before? That these prophecies, when they were given in the Old Testament, they were fulfilled earlier on. When it says that, one thing you'll hear is that when Isaiah says that the virgin will be with child, that word virgin can also mean a young woman, and you see it's actually fulfilled in the son of Isaiah. And he says, see? So how is that about Jesus as well? Can both of these things be true, where Isaiah is talking about God will bring you back out of the Babylonian captivity, which he did, and can he mean John the Baptist will come as a precursor to Jesus, saying, prepare the way for Jesus to come. And so here is what we get into with prophecy, and here's something called typology. Now, let's look at, flip over really fast to Romans 5. In verse 14, and it says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those, and this is in the middle of a long paragraph, you can read it more to get more context, but I just want to show you this. Even over those who were sinning, whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. And so then at the end of chapter 5, you have this. 18. Therefore, as one trespass led, or actually 19. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, who's that? Jesus, the many were made righteous. So Adam is a type. He existed. Yet in his life, when Christ comes, we see a typology saying, here is a partial understanding, and here is a fuller understanding of the same thing. And so in typology, there are many events that God has given in prophecy that he says, yes, this is partially fulfilled, but it's going to point to something so much greater. And think about it with the Israelite people. So what? They come back out of Babylon, and they get back to the promised land. And what happens? They die. Now their descendants continue to live on. But here the salvation of the Lord in his kingdom is coming back, is really demonstrating there is an eternal kingdom that is coming. There is eternal life for those who look to him. And it represents something so much greater than initially what's thought. And so here's an illustration that's been that I've heard. It's sort of like, have you ever had a really dimly lit stairway, like a long one, and you can't quite see the doorway at the end? And maybe the door is closed initially. You've never had that? Or how about this? So you go like this. You open the door to the basement. So you open a door to the basement, and all the lights are off in the basement, right? And you have light behind you, and you can't necessarily see down into the basement. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. All right. So you're looking down into the basement, and you start going, and you take a step, and you take a step, and as you're going, you don't see the end of it, but you keep progressing. And as you walk along the steps, when you get to the bottom, you see what you've arrived to, right? You arrive to the basement and you say, oh, here I am. Here's the end. And as you look back up the stairs, you can see through the light through the doorway, you can see the whole stairway. You don't know what you're progressing to, but as you walk along it, you can turn around and you can say, this is what I've been traveling down. Not where I'm going to, but what I've been traveling to, or where I've been coming from. How many of you have ever had a hard experience in your life that the Lord has used? Have you ever had something where you say, this is a trial, This is a difficulty in my life. And in the middle of it, you think, why would this be happening? Why is this going on in my life? Why would God be doing this? And when you get to the end of it, you look back and you say, that's why God was doing that in my life. That's how he used other people to come into my life and to encourage me. That's how he used trials. When you look back, you can see how God is using things to work out his plan in your own life. And looking back, we can look back across the Old Testament and say, here's how God was working. And it culminates in Jesus. Well, it doesn't completely culminate in Christ, because we're waiting for the final culmination of it, right? In eternal life. And so as you read things through the Old Testament, you understand its context. And these are stories of things that were going on, yet it all points forward to God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And so that's what we mean, if you've heard me say this before, all of the Old Testament is about Jesus. It's not that Jesus is named. It's that make straight the paths for the Lord. He's coming. Here we see the Babylonian captivity and the reestablishment of his people as a demonstration of what he's going to do in eternity. And we see that through the exodus of God's people leading out of Egypt. We see that in Adam and Eve, right? We see that in all the way back in Genesis 3 with the crushing of the serpent. We see it in the Mosaic law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. We see it in King David, and in the temple, and in the tabernacle, and in the prophets. We see typology pointing to Jesus. Yes, it was historical events, but yes, there's a sense where God is using them to bring about his completion. Okay, so how do we take then an Old Testament passage like Isaiah 40, and how can we apply it to our lives? Because he's not talking about us. He's talking about coming back from the Babylonian captivity, and it's fulfilled greater in Jesus Christ and who he is. And then in our lives, how can these things be applied? Well, here's what it says. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. What is being accomplished when the Lord comes? When Jesus came, what was being demonstrated for us? What was being accomplished?
Well, he made a way for us to know the Lord, or to Good. Have a relationship.
He made a way for us to know him, right? Ultimately, to glorify him, that's what Ephesians 2 says, to glorify him in our salvation. And so, look at Hebrews 3 with me. Hebrews 1. And Pastor Jim read this morning. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Like Isaiah, right? This is what we're talking about. God used them to demonstrate his plan, to put it into action. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So now we have Isaiah, we have Jesus. He said, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Well, here's how we can apply this, at least partially. There's implications, which means Isaiah's saying, make a way for the king to come to his rightful throne, right? Make a way for Christ, or really this Messiah, for the Lord to come into Jerusalem and to reign. And here's what we see in Hebrews 1. He reigns. He has sat down at the right hand of the Father. He has been given authority. So how does this apply to us? Respond appropriately. God is on his throne. And as Pastor Jim said this morning, he said, so now we can ask ourselves, have we recognized that? Have we made a way in our own hearts to recognize who Christ is and what he's accomplished for us? Because with or without us, God is working out his plan in the world. He started before the foundations of the world. He used the Israelite people. He used Isaiah. He used the Babylonian captivity. Obviously, Christ coming and John the Baptist preparing the way. And he's culminating it in his work of Christ being king over the earth. Now, how do you respond to that? What is it in your life that says, yeah, I hear the stories, but I'm going to go my own way. I don't want to submit to God. I don't want to anticipate having him rule in my life. In fact, instead of making his way level, I want to make it more difficult for God to rule in my life. I want to make it easier for me to be the one to keep what I want and to do what I want and not to submit to anyone else. Do you make do you make a path in your own life to say, I'm going to submit to Christ in all I do, in all I say, and all I think? Because he's on the throne. His plan is being enacted, and soon he's going to come back, and we're going to see it. The Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so it's a good reminder to say, how about you? Are you taking stock of this, of your own life? So hopefully in your small groups, you can do that. So tonight, I really just wanted to kind of give you, to walk through this and say, how does it work that there's an Old Testament prophecy that's about a certain event? There's a New Testament fulfillment of that event as well. And the Bible says, yep, see, look, here it is. And we say, I thought that already happened. And then how do we take that and also a third way, apply it and say, how do we respond? So, on your next reading schedule, I gave you, actually we're in the middle of Matthew, if you're following it, reading a proverb a day, and then working through Matthew. But the last 2 weeks, I put together some prophecies, some general prophecies about some chapters that are common, about Jesus as he's coming. A lot of Christians point to him and say, see, here it is, it says that Jesus is going to come. Wow, we can see that fulfilled in this passage. And so as you're walking through them, you can think, or maybe if you have a study Bible, or you can ask your parents, what did this say to them? How can I see this fulfilled then and in Christ? And then how do I respond to these sorts of things? So take a bookmark with you, and you guys can be discussing that in your groups as well. Let's pray. Lord, you are king. You are king, and you reign now, and we look forward to when we will see you face to face, when you will be eradicating sin and eradicating death, and Lord, when you will be in front of us face to face. And so, Lord, I pray that now we would long for that time, that our hearts would be prepared for that time, Lord, and we would be submissive to you in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.